Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Peches. Again, for those listening on YU Torah, this is Elisha Graf subbing for Rabbi Leibowitz, who is away until after Shabbos. So we will have the opportunity to learn together today, tomorrow, and Sunday, God willing. So we left off yesterday a little bit, or a lot short of the end of the daf. The Gemara today is going to discuss mainly two topics. First, we're going to pick up right after the Mishnah. Maybe we'll read the Mishnah again quickly on Pei Zayin Amud Beis, which spoke about the case of a father who sends his minor child, who sends his Ben HaKatan to a Chenveni to buy some oil. And the son presents the Chenveni with some money. The Chenveni gives the son some change and some oil. Who is responsible if the son loses the items on the way back to the father? The Mishnah had spoken about something regarding a tzluchis, some halacha regarding if the son brings to the chenveni some measuring cup to measure the oil in, and then the tzluchis breaks, who's going to be responsible for the tzluchis? So in the Gemara, we're going to discuss why the chenveni might be potter, why the chenveni might be chayiv, and why the halacha might be different regarding the tzluchis. So the Mishnah had said at the end of the Mishnah, modim chachamim l'Rav Yehuda bezman shel tzluchis biyad atinok umadat chenveni l'tocha shechenveni potter, that the chenveni is going to be potter even according to the chachamim. So we'll see why exactly that might be the case. That's going to segue into a discussion at the top of Peches Amud Aleph as to how and when a person might be kones something in certain circumstances. If a person touches something, if a person is window shopping, or if a person is perusing an item and actually picks up the item because he's considering buying it, is that enough to allow him to be kone the item? Which doesn't seem that it should be the case, but depending on what type of product we're talking about, that actually might be the case. That discussion is going to take up most of Peches Amud Aleph. At the bottom of Peches Amud Aleph, there's going to be a Mishnah which is going to start a discussion of midos, which is going to start a discussion, not midos as in attributes, but midos as in weights and measurements. And that discussion is going to take us pretty much through the end of the perek over the next couple of days. But at least in the Mishnah, we're going to talk primarily about two things leading up to the Gemara on Peches Amud Beis. One is going to be how often somebody has to clean the midos, somebody has to wipe down, or somebody has to wash the midos that he uses to measure the amount of produce that he's selling to somebody else. And the other topic of discussion is when a seller is selling an item by weight, does he sell the item by exact weight, or is he machria a little bit for the lokeach? Does he have to add a little bit extra for the lokeach, for the benefit of the lokeach? And if he does have to add a little bit extra for the benefit of the lokeach, how much does he have to add? So we'll see that discussion, which will take us through the end of today's daf. So let's start again with the Mishnah, Pei Zayin Amud Beis, backing up. We'll read the Mishnah quickly, then start discussing in the Gemara. The Mishnah says as follows. So, Ashaleach has beno etzel chenveni. If a person sends his son, who's a minor, to a chenveni to buy oil, and the chenveni measures out the proper amount of oil and gives the child back the oil and some change. If the son then breaks the tzluchis that the oil was in and loses the change, chenveni chayiv. So the chachamim say the chenveni is chayiv because the chenveni shouldn't have given this these items. The chenveni shouldn't have given the iser and the oil to the son because the son's obviously a minor and the minor is helpless. So for the minor, it's not his fault, but it's the chenveni's fault that he shouldn't have given this stuff to his son. But Rav Yehuda poter shalman asken shalcha. Rav Yehuda says no. Rav Yehuda says, what are you talking about? The guy sent his son to the chenveni to buy the oil and to receive the change. Obviously, he trusted the son to get the oil and to receive the change. So the chenveni is going to be potter. Umodim chachamim l'Rav Yehuda, but Rav Yehuda, the chachamim who said that the chenveni is chayev in the first case, agreed to Rav Yehuda bezman shatzluchas biyad atinok. If the father sends the son to the makolet with the measuring cup for the oil in his hand, umadad chenveni l'tocha, and the chenveni then measures the oil in the measuring cup that the son came carrying, then Shechen Vini Pater. So the Chachamim are going to agree in that case, for whatever reason, we'll see in the Gemara, that the Chen Vini is Pater. So said the Gemara, this part we covered yesterday, the next couple of lines. So Bishlam Abisar Vishemen. I understand legabe the halacha of if is the chenveni going to be chayir for the iser and for the shemen for the change that he gives the tinok and also for the shemen b'hapligi. The rabbanan savre lo duye shadre. The rabbanan say, why is the chenveni going to be chayir? Because the father never intended that the chenveni actually give the child who's a minor the shemen and the iser. Rather, the Chachamim will say that he simply sent his kid lo duye shadre to make the chenveni aware that he wants to buy oil, and therefore the chenveni was not supposed to send the oil and give the change back to the kid. So if the chenveni did and the kid loses it, it's the chenveni's fault. Rabbi Yehuda Sofer l'shturi le shadre, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, what are you talking about? The guy sent him there in order to buy the oil, so it wasn't stam to be modi to the chenveni that he wants to buy oil. He actually did want to buy oil, and he intended that the chenveni give the oil and provide the change to his son. And therefore, if the chenveni does in fact follow through and provides the oil or the change and the change to his son, the chenveni is going to be potter. So says the Gemara, good. I understand the resha and the machlokas. Ela shovart sluchis. However, if the fact that the sluchis broke, and the Shavar Tzluchis is also mentioned in the Reisha of the Mishnah. It says, Shavar Esat Tzluchis, the Avad Esa Isser, the Chenveni is, we still have the Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, Ela Shavar Tzluchis, Aveda Midasi. However, but if the son breaks the tzluchas, breaks the glass flask that you measure the oil into, so according to the Chachamim in the Reisha of the Mishnah, the Chenveni is also going to be higher for that. Why? If the father sent the son to the store holding a glass flask, then that's called an Aveda Midas. Why? Because what else did the father expect but for the fact that the kid was going to come back with a broken flask? You don't send a kid through a Rishus HaRabim to a store carrying a glass flask. So says the Gemara, Am Rav Oshia, Chava Balabayas, Mochar Tzluchios Askinan. Over here, we're talking about a Balabayas who is Mochar Tzluchios. And that's why, according to the Chachamim, the Chenveni is going to be Chayiv. Now, why would that make a difference? And the Gemara continues, Ukagon Shenatla Chenveni, Almanas Lavakra. So the Balabayas, so two things are happening here then. Two things are happening. And this is based on the interpretation of the Rashbam. Number one, the father is sending his son to the Makolet to go buy Shemen and to go bring the change back to the father. Number two, there's something in this for the father as well, something additional in this for the father. The father happens to be a Mochar Tzluchios. The father happens to sell glass flasks. So he sends his son to the store with a glass flask in hand, hoping that the Chenveni will see the glass flask and might be interested in owning the glass flask. And so he might buy the flask from the father. And so we're talking about, according to Rav Yoshia, a Balabayas who's Mochar Tzluchios, and a case where the Chenveni took hold of the Tzluchis Almanas Lavakra in order to check it out. So in that case, if the Chenveni then gives the flask back to the child, why, according to the Chachamim, would he be Chayiv? Uchid Shmuel, and because we're following Shmuel, Damar Shmuel, watch the sheet of Shmuel. Shmuel says, Hanotal Kli Min Uman Almanas Lavakro, if a person takes a Kli from a craftsman, Almanas Lavakro, in order to check it out, to see whether he might be interested in buying it, Vin Nas Biyado, and then an Ones happens, and the Kli is damaged, Chayiv, he is going to be Chayiv. And that's why, if then the storekeeper gives the kli back to the child, the storekeeper is going to be chayiv for the kli, because he was a noto kli min uman almanas lavakro vinenas biyado. Tosfos over here explains that lechora he's chayiv midin shoel, and a shoel's chayiv even in onsen, because if the person took hold of the kli in order to assess it to see whether he wanted to buy it, it's like he's borrowing the kli for that period, and therefore he's chayiv if anything happens to it. So says the Gemara, okay, but this was a machlokas now between the Chachamim and Rav Yehuda. The Chachamim were mechayiv the chenveni for the flask as well. The Rav Yehuda, however, argued on the Chachamim, and Rav Yehuda said that the Chenveni is potter for all of this because it was really negligence on the part of the father for sending his minor child to the store to go get this stuff. So if the stuff breaks on the way home, it's not the Chenveni's fault, it's the father's fault for sending his minor child as a shaliach. So, do you mean to tell me that it's only the Chachamim who hold like Shmuel, that only the Chachamim agree with Allah, Abanot al Kalim and Uman Amanas Lavakro, Benenas Biados Chayev? So, Lema the Shmuel Tanoi, should we say that Shmuel is a Machlokas Tanoim? So, Ella, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Tamri Tavayu, no. Shmuel's Allah is acceptable to Divrei HaKol. What's the Machlokas Chachamim and Rav Yehuda here? Hacha Bechenveni Mochats Luchias Askinan. Over here, we're talking about where the Chenveni is the Mochats Luchias, not the Balabayas is the Mochats Luchias, but the Chenveni also sells Luchias. And therefore, we explain the part of the Mishnah dealing with the tzluchis like we explain the part of the Mishnah dealing with the oil and the change. The Chachamim say that it was all lo duye. The father never intended that the Chenveni give the stuff back to his son. It was only to let him know, to make him aware that he wanted to purchase the thing. So the Chenveni shouldn't have given anything to the kid. Therefore, if he gives stuff to the kid and the kid breaks it, Chenveni is going to be chai for the tzluchis, he's going to be chai for the oil, and he's going to be chai for the change. Rav Yehuda says that no, if the father sends the child with money to the store, he intends that the storekeeper give the kid what he wants to buy. And therefore, if he sends the oil in a flask and change back with the kid, the Chenveni is going to be putter for the tzluchis, putter for the oil, and putter for the change, because the father never should have sent the kid to the store. If he did send the kid to the store, obviously he intended that the Chenveni give the stuff to the kid. But says the Gemara, now I don't understand the seifa of the Mishnah, because in the seifa of the Mishnah, in the very end of the Mishnah, we had read at the beginning of today's shiur, again, that everybody agrees, modim chachamim l'Rav Yehuda, Bizman shat tzluchas biyadatinok, and the Chenveni then measures into the tzluchas that the Chenveni is going to be putter. So says the Gemara, iachi ema seifa modim chachamim larviuda bizman shat tzluchas biyadatinok umada Chenveni lasocha shachenveni putter va'amrit lo diya shadrei. Why would the chachamim be modeh to Rav Yehuda in any case, in any situation, if the tzluchas breaks? I thought you just told me that the chachamim say that when the father sends his child to the store to go buy the provisions, he doesn't actually intend that the storekeeper give the kid the items. He's only intending to send the child so that the storekeeper should be made aware that he wants to buy the stuff. But if it's only that he should be made aware that he wants to buy the stuff and he never intends that the storekeeper give anything to his kid, why would the Chachamim be modeh that when the tzluchas is in the hands of the tinok, then the storekeeper is going to be putter if the tzluchas breaks? So Ella Abaya Bar Oven, Rav Chanina Bar Oven, Damri Tavayu, Abaya Bar Oven and Rabbi Chanina Bar Oven both say, Hacha b'mayaskinan, over here we're talking in a case, Shagon Shenutla Lamadba, where the storekeeper took the tzluchis to measure the oil into, and if you look on the last Rashbam on Pei Zayin Amabez, he helps fill in a little bit over here. He says, Lo sukma lo bechenveni mochar tzluchis v'lo balabayas mochar tzluchios. We're not talking about a tzluchis that's personal to either the chenveni or to the balabayas. None of them is a mochar tzluchis. What we're talking about here is elahocha b'tzluchis ha-miyuchedes l'mida askinan. Over here, we're talking about a tzluchis which is reserved for measuring. V'notla chenveni miyatinok lomad b'letzorech hatinok. And the Chenveni takes it from the hands of the Tinok for the purpose of measuring the proper amount of oil into the Tzluchis. The Afal Gav de Aveda Midasi. And even though it's an Aveda Midas, the father never should have sent his son with this thing. Kivan Shenutla, once the Chenveni takes it, Nischayev Beshmirasa, the Chenveni is going to become chayiv in the shmira in guarding the flask properly until he gives it back to the balabayas. So again, peches amadala, first line, continuing in the Gemara, we're dealing with a situation where the Chenveni takes the tzluchas in order to measure into it, and we're now holding like the shita of Rabba, diyama Rabba, hekisha nischayiv ba, that once he hits the animal a little bit, then he's going to be chayav. What in the world is this talking about? So this is talking about in a case, says the Rashbam, of a zakein ve'eno lefi kavodo. We know that there is a halacha by Hashavas Aveda. There's an asay of hashev to shivaim, and there's also a los asay of losucha lehisalim, that you're not allowed to pretend that you didn't see the Aveda. However, there's an exception if it's a zakein ve'eno lefi kavodo. If a zakein sees an item, and it's an item that's not bakovedik for the zakein to be walking through a rishus harabim holding the item in order to perform the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, there's an exception that the zakein is allowed to just ignore it and doesn't have to pick it up, because we darshan losucha lesalem pamim shata mesalem, that there are some times when you can ignore the item and you can avoid returning it. However, let's say you see a little animal that's lost, and it's a zakein veina lefi kvodo, so it's not lefi kavod zakein that it should be walking around carrying a little goat or a sheep or whatever animal we're talking about, but the guy starts attempting to return the animal. So he's carrying a walking stick, and he hits the animal a little bit to try to get it to come close. Once he makes that initial attempt, he is now going to be chayiv to return it. Why is he going to be chayiv to return it? So the Aruch HaShulchan explains like this. Because again, by Hashavas Aveda, there are two components. There's an asay of hashev to shivaim, and there's a los asay of losucha lehisalem. Zokein ve'ena lefi kvodo, only ozdoche, the los asay of losucha lehisalem, and zokein ve'ena lefi kvodo tells us pamim sha'ata mesalem. There are some times where you can ignore the Aveda, and you're not chayef to return the Aveda. If, however, by your action you show that you're mochel on pamim sha'ata mesalem, then at that point you're still left with the asay of a shev to shivaim. So it turns out that you are then going to be chayev, that you are then going to be chayev in completing the mitzvah asay, and you're going to have to finish what you started. But in any event, the halacha of Rabbah is that if you start, if you so much as hit the animal, you are going to be chayiv. So too over here, if we're talking about a tzluchis, which is miyuchad lamida, and the chenveni takes the tzluchis, once the chenveni takes the tzluchis, he's going to be chayiv in the tzluchis, chayiv for the tzluchis, until he actually returns it to the proper owner, to the father. So says the Gemara, this is not a good comparison. Maybe the Rabbah's halach only applies by a live animal. Dak tinu nigra briyasa. Because once you hit the animal, it starts to stray even further, because hitting the animal is not going to get the animal to come close. It's going to cause the animal to run away. So once you start hitting the animal, yes, then you're chayiv to go return the animal to the owner. However, over here, kiay gavna miyamar, does he hold the same halach over here? No. So it's not a good comparison. So says the Gemara, you're right, Ela Amarava, Aniva, Arisha Bechabura, I and the Arisha Bechabura, and who is that? Tirgaminua, we explain this, Umanu, and who's the Arisha Bechabura? It's Rabbi Zera, Hachab of Mayaskin, and Kagoncha, Notla, Lamadba, La Acherim, that the father sent the son with a tzluchas to the store to get oil and to receive change. The storekeeper took the tzluchis to measure oil into, but not only did he measure oil for the son in the tzluchis, he also measured oil for other customers in the tzluchis. And now the chenveni is a shoel shalomidas. The father intended that the chenveni use the tzluchis only to measure oil for the tinok. He went and used the tzluchis to measure oil for other customers. Now it turns out that he's a shoel shalomidas. He borrowed the item without the knowledge of the father. And there's a machlokas by Shol Shlomidas, what level of chiyuv one takes on. Mar Savar Shoel Have, Umar Savar Gazlan Have. One man, the Amar, says that he is a Shoel. And if he's a Shoel, what does a lender have to do? What does a borrower have to do, rather? A borrower only has to return the item to his lender. Who loaned the tzluchis to the chenveni? It was the tinok. So if the chenveni gives the tzluchis back to the tinok, fine. So the chenveni was mekayim his chiyuv of returning the tzluchis to the tinok.
And therefore, the chenveni is now going to be putter from whatever happens to the tzluches. However, the other mandiyamer says that he's a gazlan. And what happens by a gazlan? We know that by a gazlan, the halacha is veheshev esagzela, veheshev esagzela asher gazal. And therefore, the only way to perform the mitzvah of veheshev is to return the item to its ultimate owner, that the chenveni is not going to be absolved from any chiyuv for the tzluchis until he facilitates the return of the tzluchis all the way back to the father. And therefore, if the tzluchis gets damaged on the way back to the father, the chenveni is going to be chayiv. So that's the way we understand the case of tzluchis. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, about 5-6 lines up from where the lines get wide. So Gufar, so Amar Shmuel, Hanotel Kli min Uman Levakro, if a person takes a Kli from an Uman to check it out, Venenas Biyado, and then an onus happens and the Kli is damaged, Venenas Biyado, Chayiv is going to be Chayiv. Vahani Miliu Dekitzi Demea. So says the Gemara, that's only when the price for the item is set. And the Rashbam explains here in the second wide line, it should dumb of ktsutzim kagon rechayim shel pilpulin. It's only by something with a set price where everybody knows what the price is. Veshar kelim ktanim shedarkam liolam lasayis bepshute bepashut. Ubenedarim muki ladadishmul betara charifa. That we're also talking about where the item not only has a set price, but it's also in high demand. Ubedavar shalokhin koftsin alav. And by something where the buyers are literally jumping on it to buy it, the ein ano lemocher belikichaso shel zeh. Now, why would the person window shopping? Why would the person trying the item out be chayev? Because from the mocher's perspective, he doesn't care whether this guy buys it or not. You're selling an item. Why wouldn't you care whether the guy buys it? Because if it's not this guy who buys it, another person's going to want to buy it. Because it's an item that's literally impossible to keep in stock. Therefore, the lokeach, when he takes the item to check it out, he's like a shoel, and therefore the shoel is chayiv and onsin. That's why the halacha is hanotel klim and umen levakro v'nenas biyado. He's going to be chayiv just like a shoel is chayiv. And again, says the Gemara, hani mili dekitza demea. That's only when there's a set price. We saw on the Rashbam, not only does there have to be a set price, that's also when the item is in very high demand. And so if this guy doesn't buy it, other people are going to jump to buy it. Ha'u gavra, there was a certain guy, da'ol le'bei tavcha, that he went to the butcher. So agva atma de bisra, he bought a piece of thigh meat, or he picked up a piece of thigh meat to go check it out. Ba'ad etaga agva asa pirsha mir memine. A horseman came and grabbed the thigh meat from his hand and made off with it. So we have a guy, he was window shopping, he was deciding whether or not he wanted to buy the item, and while he was holding the item, an onus happened. So also l'kame de Rav Yemar, chayiv l'shlumei damea. And Rav Yemar came, and he was mechayiv to go pay him, v'hani miliu dekitzi damea. And also, that's only when there's a known price. If there is no known price, and as we saw in the Rashbam, if it's not an item that people are jumping to buy, then he would not have been chayiv. Says the Gemara, another ma'aser, who gavra de icy kare lefum nahara. There was a guy who brought gourds to the riverbank, to the place fum nahara. So also kuliyama shakul kara. And everybody came, they were descending on the gourds like vultures, and they were all taking the gourds and trying to buy, and it was a whole mess in front of this guy's stall. Where he was selling his items, and it was very difficult to keep track of who was buying what. So Amar Lu Arehein Mekudoshin L'Shamayim. And so he said, you know what, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with all of this hubbub in front of my store. Everything is hektish. And by being makdish everything, he obviously intended that these people should back away because they can't have anah from this anyway. So he said, it's all hektish L'Shamayim. So also L'Kameh to Rav Kahana, so he came before Rav Kahana, Amar Luhu, and Rav Kahana said, doesn't work. Why? Ain other makdish davar shena shalo, because a person can't be makdish something which is not his. Why was it considered to be not his? I thought it was his gourds that he was selling, because the people had already come to the stall and they were picking up the gourds and they were checking them out. Once they picked them up, they were kona them for themselves, and therefore it was no longer the mocher's. The mocher could no longer therefore be makdish l'shamayim. And says the Gemara, but again, v'hani milu dekitzi d'damayu. That when can we consider that the people who are considering buying the item and are holding it in their hands, when do we consider that it's theirs already? That's only when there's a set price. However, if there is no set price, then the potential buyer is not kone when he's going to take it into his own rishus, and therefore the fellow would have properly been makdish the item. Tana Rabbanan. Says the Gemara Baitor, Lakeach Yerek Min Ashuk, if a person buys a vegetable from a shuk, Ubirer Viniach, Afilu Kolo Yam Kulo, Lo Kana, and he's like looking, like the person who's looking to buy the perfect tomato in the fruit store. So he's searching for it, and he's looking some more. Is it perfect? Is it not perfect? And he's looking at it even all day, Afilu Kolo Yam Kulo, Lo Kana, he has not been Kona the item, Velonis Chayev B'Meiser, and he is not Chayev in Meiser of the item. However, Gomer Belibo Liknoso, as soon as he's like finished with his inspection and he makes up in his heart that he is going to buy it, then Kona, then he is Kona the item, Venis Chayev in Meiser, and that now he is Chayev, and now he's Chayev in Meiser. He's Chayev in Meiser of the vegetable. And the Rashbam explains that we're talking about a person who is a chaver. We're talking about a person who is, and really this Mishnah is talking about in Demai, but we're talking about a person who is a chaver, who's considering buying an item. The seller's an Amma Aret, so we assume that the seller hasn't given Maisros, and the chaver, If he has a gemiras das that he's going to be kone, then he's chayev and meiser. And now what should he do then? So says the Gemara, lachziro yefshar shekfarnes chayev and meiser. He can't return the item to the Amaretz because he's already chayev and meiser on the item. And why can't he return it then? The Rashbam says because ein chaver motzi dover sheina metuchan mitachas yado, because a chaver always is very meticulous to make sure that he doesn't allow untithed produce to come from his rishus. He's not going to give back produce without giving meiser first. So lachziru yefshar shekfarnes chayev b'meiser. So he can't give it back without taking the meiser. So let him take Meiser. Ula Asro Yefshar, but says the Gemara, it's impossible for him to take the Meiser, Shekfar Mafkisan Bedamim. Because if the guy is considering what happened, he was considering buying the produce. Now he decided he wants to return the produce. So the guy should take Meiser on the produce. He's going to give the Amaretz back less than he took. Because he took 10. He's going to take Meiser. So he's going to take one from Meiser. Now he's going to give the Amaretz back 9. That doesn't work. So they say he's stuck. He's in a pickle. Shekvar machvisa medamim. So okay, so what should he do? So ma'asro v'nosin lo dmei meiser. Oh, so let him take meiser and let him give back whatever produce is not meiser. And in order to make up for the part of the produce that is meiser, let him pay the guy for that amount of money. Simple. So otu mishum the gemar belibo liknos kana v'neschaye b'meiser. Wait. So says the gemar, back up a second. We're worried that the guy is really chayev to give meiser. Is it really possible? Because the guy was gomer belibo that he was going to buy the produce, that he's kone to the extent that he's chayev and meiser. How exactly does that work? Samar avochia halcha b'yarei shemayim askinun. Over here, we're talking about a yarei shemayim. Could go in Rav Safra, the kiyam benafshe, that Rav Safra was mekayim for himself, the pasuk of v'dover emes bilvavo. So we're talking with a person who is so meticulous in his midah of honesty and in his, he's always so direct and he's always so tmimistic. He always does what he says, and therefore, yes, we're talking about a person like Rav Safra that if he intended to buy it, he's going to follow through. What's the maisa of Rav Safra? So the Rashbam explains there was a maisa where Rav Safra was saying Kriya Shema, and he had something that he wanted to sell. And somebody came up to him and offered him a certain price for the item, and Rav Safra didn't respond. So the reason that Rav Safra didn't respond was because he was in the middle of saying Kriya Shema. The potential buyer thought that the reason that Rav Safra wasn't responding was because he wanted more for the item. So he kept offering him more and more and more, and at the end, when Rav Safra finished saying Kriya Shema, he sold the item to the guy for the initial lowest price that he offered him. And he's like, what's going on? And Rav Safra explained, because he was always Mekayim in the Pasuk V'dover Emes Bolvavo. He had intended to sell the item for the lowest price. The reason that he was quiet was because he was late in Kriya Shema. He didn't want to take advantage of what happened to him because he was unable to answer on account that he was saying Kriya Shema. So yes, somebody like Rav Safra, who is always going to hold himself to the most meticulous standards of honesty, he is going to be kona something as soon as he makes up in his mind that he wants to be koned. Okay, so says the Mishnah as follows. Now we're gonna transition to the next topic of today's daf, which is all about weights and measurements and how often one has to clean weights and measurements and the practice of giving the lokeach a little bit extra when you sell something. So it says the Mishnah as follows: Hasiton, a wholesaler who sells produce to storekeepers, mekaneach midosav achas l'shloshim yom, he has to wipe down his measures once every 30 days. We're talking about a davar lach. We're talking about measures used for liquid. So, for example, if you use a measuring cup for oil, the oil has a lot of viscosity, and therefore it always leaves some residue. And therefore, if you're measuring oil for your customers in your measuring cup and you don't clean out your measuring cup, there's going to be residue of oil left from other sales, and it turns out that's going to add weight, so you're going to be cheating your customer a little bit. So he has to clean his midos, his measurements, every 30 days. Ubalabayas echas l'shnei masar chodesh, and a balabayas has to clean once every 12 months, because a balabayas doesn't usually sell so frequently, so there's not so much residue that builds up. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel amar chiluf advarim. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no, adaraba. If the measuring cups are used with such great frequency, there is going to be less residue, because the liquid's always going in and going out. By a balabayas, who sells oil much less frequently, by him, his cups are going to have much more residue, because it's going to be a week in between the time that he transacts, and in that week, all this residue is going to build up, and therefore the balabayas actually has to clean out the measurements more frequently than the seton. Okay, so we see that machlokas. Next halacha, chen v'ni mekaneach midosav, a storekeeper has to wipe down his measurements pamayim b'shabbos, twice a week, umamcha mishkolosav pamachas b'shabbos, and he has to wipe his mishkolos one time a week, umekaneach maznayim alkal mishkol mishkol, and he has to clean the scale, each and every time. So what are we talking about here? So again, when we talk about midos, we're talking about measuring cups used for a davar lach. When we talk about mishkolos, the way they used to weigh items is with the mishkol, with the scale, which looks like the typical scale that you would envision. It either hung from the ceiling, or it had a stand, and it was a balance. So what you would do is you would put something of a defined weight on one of the sides of the scale, and then on the other side of the scale, you would put whatever it is that the guy wants to sell, whatever the customer wants to buy. Now, if you are using the same stones to measure against the item, and let's say you're measuring fatty meats or whatever, some grease or whatever is going to get on the stone, and it's going to cause the stone to weigh more than it actually weighs, thus causing the seller to have to sell more to the buyer. So says the Yad Rama, if it's because he has to sell more to the buyer, why do we make him clean his measurements every so often? I thought we're afraid, and the din by the liquid measures is that we're afraid that he's going to cheat the buyer. Here it's actually to benefit the buyer. Says the Yad Rama, yeah, but sometimes he uses his measurements to buy from other people, and he's going to wind up cheating his mocher. So that's why he has to be sure to clean all this stuff. So, and by the actual scale, he has to clean the surface of the scale each time he weighs something. So Amar Rav Shem Gamliel b'medvar mamurim b'lach, aval b'yavesh ein atzorech. However, by a yavesh, by something that's used to measure davar yavesh, you don't have to wipe it down because there is no residue. Now turning to Pechesim Abeis. V'chayev l'achriya lo tefach. And you have to tilt the measure in the lokeach's favor by a tefach. So, in other words, you have to give him a little bit extra. So the Rashbam explains a couple of things. First of all, this is only where the minig is to be machriya for a tefach. As we've seen in the past couple of Mishnayos, generally it's hakol k'minig hamadina. So if the minig is to be machriya tefach, then you have to be machriya tefach. It's not an absolute chiyuv. Also, the shear of a tefach, what that means is that you have to tilt the part of the scale with the actual weight down a tefach lower than it otherwise would be. So in order to get them to balance, you're going to have to give more of whatever you're selling. That shear of a tefach, is that always the case? So says the Gemara, we'll say later, and that's not always the case. It depends what you're selling. If you're selling very precious jewels, obviously you don't have to be machriya tefach, otherwise the guy's going to have a windfall. And if you're selling very heavy metal, you might have to be machriya more than a tefach. So it's only if you're selling stam regular size produce, you have to be machriya tefach. Now says the Mishnah, yeshokel ayin ba'ayin, if however you're going to do a like kind, if you're going to measure exactly, then nosin lo gerumim, then you have to give the buyer a little bit extra in lieu of tilting the tefach. You have to give him a little bit extra. Echas la sarah balach, 1/10, or we'll see, it's actually 1/100 in the Gemara, for a lach, for a davar lach, ve'echad ve'esrim be'yavesh, and what the Mishnah calls echad ve'esrim, which may either be 1/200th or 1/400th of the measurement, by a davar yavesh. Mokam shenogu lamed bedaka, in a place where the minag is to be modeed with small weights, lo yama begasa, you shouldn't be modeed with big weights, begasa lo yama bedaka, where the minag is to be modeed with big, don't be modeed with small, limchok, where the minag is to level, if you're, let's say, selling flour or sugar or some sort of spices, where the minig is to level off the measurement, lo yigdosh, you shouldn't heap the measurement, ligdosh lo yimchok, and where the minig is to be godesh, to heap the measurement, then you shouldn't be mochek. And says the Rashbam, that's even if you are going to agree to charge the guy less. If the minig is ordinarily to give a heaping measurement and you decide you want to give a precise measurement, you are not able to do that even though you charge the guy less than ordinary. Because you say usually you give a heaping measurement, you want to give a regular measurement and charge the guy less, still not acceptable, according to our Mishnah. So says the Gemara now. So minani mili. So how do we know this idea that you're supposed to be machriya? That you're supposed to be machriya etefach. So Amar Reish Lakesh Damar Kra Even Shleima Vetzedek. It says that your weight should be yashristik. They should be proper. They should be exact. Tzadek Mishalcha Vetainlo. Now what you should do is you should give a little bit from your own to the buyer. Why? Says the Rashbam, because it's EF Shalitzam same, because really you're not going to be able to measure exactly. And in order to make sure that you don't even have a shemetz of doubt that you might be cheating the lokeach, you have to add a little bit extra to make sure that he gets a little bit more. So tzadek mishalcha v'tein lo. So says the Gemara, well, that does not make sense, because what did we say in the Mishnah? We had said you have to be machriya tefach. Oh, and if you want to measure exactly, then you have to give him a little bit extra. So, if you are going to do an exact measurement, then you have to add on a little bit extra. But if you just prove to me from a pasuk that I have to be machriya my scale tilted in favor of the buyer, how could I get away without tilting the scale? It's a mitzvah daraisa to tilt the scale. So now the Gemara changes the way it's approaching this. The reisha of tilting the scale is only by makom shenagu. That's what the Rashbam already taught us in the Mishnah. When the minig is to tilt the scale at tefach, you have to tilt the scale at tefach. And the chiyitmar the reish lokesh, and the halacha of reish lokesh is a sefer itmar. Haya shokalo ayin ba'ayin, where there is no minug to tilt the scale of tefach, and where the minug is rather to use an exact measurement, no sin lo gerumim, you still have to give the buyer a little bit extra. Minani mili, how do we know this? Amar Reish Lakish, Amar Krav, Vetzadek, Amar Krav, Vetzadek, Tzadek Mishalcha, Vetain lo, Vekama gerumim, and how much is this a little bit of an extra measurement that you have to give the buyer? So Amarav Abba, Vamamal, Amarav, Echad Measara Belitra, Belach, Measara Litrin, 1/10 of a liter per 10 litrin. In other words, 1/100th. And echas la sara balach, v'echas la esrim b'yavesh. The Mishnah said it's 1/20th for amida yavesh. And what do we mean by 1/20th? Iboiluhu. Heichikamar. So what are we saying? Echad me asara balach la sara delach, v'echad me esrim b'yavesh la esrim b'yavesh, which is a shear of 1/400th. Odilma echad me asara la sara delach ula esrim b'yavesh. Or maybe it's 1/10th of 10 for a davar lach, and 1/10 of 20 for a davar yavesh, which would actually be 1/200th, not 1/400th. Says the Gemara, teku. It is a teku, and therefore, because it's a teku, And therefore, says the Rama, because it says the Yad Rama, because it's a teku, the lokeach is not able to be towing for more than a 1/400th of an extra amount when he buys something, because of the concept of a motzi mechavera olav haraya. However, a person who is a chassid, a person who wants to go lefnim mishuras adina, make sure that he follows the letter of the law, and that he's yotze lechaladeyas, he will leave over at least a shear of 1/200th for this amount, which is a davar yavesh, in order to make sure that he's mekayim even the greater proportion, even the greater sheet of what you have to leave over. Okay, so we'll leave off over here. We'll continue from this place, God willing, tomorrow, talking about the onshin for violating midos, for using improper, imprecise measurements.